All right, we're reading here starting in Romans chapter 8, starting at verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. Verse 19. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. I'll stop right there. All right, now we're talking about the idea of manifesting the sons of God, and we're in this last area you would call vengeance and recompense. Man, we have come a long ways in this. Now, we were talking on the subject of boundaries, and that boundaries have been placed in our lives by one thing or another. Matter of fact, I just got done preaching on containment down at World Changers, and it was, everybody's thinking the same kind of same thing, this whole idea of boundaries. Well, let's go over to John chapter 17, please. And over in John chapter 17, verse 14, I have given them thy word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I prayed not that thou should take them out of the world, but you should keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Now, this is something here, because Jesus basically is putting himself in a place here where he's talking about he's not limited by this world's limitations or boundaries, and neither are we. We are not to be limited by them. Now, Jesus, there's a lot of things that he was doing. And I was showing him something last time. You know, you've got to get in this word and allow the Holy Spirit to give you teaching. Because this word was not meant, the mysteries were not meant to be uncovered with a natural mind. That you've got to get the mind of Christ in here. You've got to think on another level. So I was kind of looking at some of the places where Jesus was expressing this new, see, he was the only begotten Son of God. Am I right about it? All right. Well, that was just in the Gospels. When it comes back here to the epistles, it doesn't call him the only begotten Son of God. And not anymore. It calls him things like firstborn of many brethren. Over here, it calls the church of the firstborn. It never calls him the only begotten Son of God anymore. Because he's not. That you and I have been begotten of God, and we got the same thing in us that he had. And that's essentially why we can do, you know, things that he could do. Jesus said it. He said, hey, the things that I do shall you do also. And greater work shall you do because I go to the Father. See? So that was over in John chapter 14. So my point to you is that, hey, wait a minute. How have we been reading this? How has this been taught? Because maybe that's a problem here. Maybe I haven't moved up to that level because I haven't been taught on that level. Maybe there's some teaching here that I need, let me just get my notes here, that would take me into another level. Because, you know, you've got to have a certain level of teaching to get you up in these upper levels of operation. You really do. You Pablo won't do this. You've got to really get in this word and give these people something, because a tree is known by its fruit. See? And if I want certain fruit, all you got to do is look at the body of Christ and just see where we are. And you can see right there, something is missing. All right? Anyway, let's look at an example here. Now, I'm digging this out. I was just kind of doing some, you know, kind of just digging in here this morning. And I saw this back in Mark chapter 9. Come on back there, please. Mark chapter 9. Let me know when you get to Mark chapter 9. Praise God. Now, in Mark chapter 9, very interesting what has happened here. Let me just see something. Okay, here it is. In Mark chapter 9, he says this, verse 1. And he said unto them, verily I say unto you, that there be some of them that stand here which shall not taste of death, till they have seen the kingdom of God come with power. There's some standing here that will not die until they see the kingdom of God come. Now, he's talking about his disciples. And the kingdom of God came on the day of Pentecost. So there are some standing here who will not see the kingdom of God. They haven't seen it. They'll be here and they'll see the kingdom of God. Now, a lot of people, you know, people teach on that, because we got a lot of teaching on, you know, filled with mysticism and stuff like that. And they're talking about, well, the kingdom of God hadn't come yet. Yes, it had came. Yes, it did come. It came on the day of Pentecost. Now watch this. Let's go further. And after 6 days, Jesus taketh with him Peter and James and John, and leadeth them up into a high mountain apart by themselves. And he was transfigured before them. And his raiment became shining, exceeding white as snow, so as no fuller on earth can white them. A fuller. In the Amplified Bible, it says cloth dresser or launderer. Somebody that does your laundry. Nobody could clean and get this as white as the anointing did up there on that mountain. So right there, he doesn't need a cleaner. No, he doesn't need a cleaners. Why do you need a cleaners when you go to sleep at night and your stuff be whiter than any laundry can get it to? I see you laughing, but that's what's been happening. Y'all been laughing your way out of this. My point to you is, you know, I was one time going to Haiti, and I was coming out of Haiti. One of the pastors there was trying to get a visa and so forth. He had been trying and so forth. We really felt sorry for him. Went to the embassy, tried to get it. They couldn't get it for him and so forth. But we had to catch the airplane. But somehow his faith got him a visa. And we were sitting there in that airplane on the tarmac waiting for the doors to close. And he comes and jumps on that airplane huffing and puffing and so forth and sat down there. And he sat down there in the seat that was beside myself. And I said, he had a little briefcase. And I said, oh, you made it, Pastor. Good God, bless you, congratulations. I said, I made it, Pastor, I made it. I said, well, how about your luggage? Did you have any? Oh, no, Pastor, all I have is this here. I said, well, what's in there? He opened it up, couple of sheets of paper, toothpaste and a toothbrush and a comb. And I said to myself, now he doesn't have any clothes. This is me talking now. But then I said, the next voice said, well, he just hang them up at night and they'll be clean by the launderer. That's what something said to me. Now, understand, he came back apparently with so many suitcases he could hardly get them through the plate. Now, but my point to you is we see this, but we don't think no boundaries. Let's go again. Let's go to Matthew chapter 14, please. Matthew chapter 14. Amen. Now, I'm slowing down because you need to put some of this together for yourself. Amen. Let me know when you get there. All right, Matthew chapter 14. These papers are weird, man. There's some weird stuff happening up here, boy. I might have to rebuke the devil out of here. Okay. Are you with me? All right, look what it says here in verse 22. And straightway, Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him to the other side while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain part to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus came to them swimming in the sea. No, come on now, help me, make me read that right. He came to them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled and said, "It's a ghost." I'm just putting in my own words. And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, "Hey, be of good cheer. It's I. Don't be afraid." And Peter answered and said, "Lord, if it be you, bid me come to you." How? On the water. And he said, what? Come. And Peter got down on the boat and walked on the water to go to Jesus. Folks, what he's saying here is what I did, you can do too. And then one time he told him to go to the other side. And by the time they got to the other side, where was he? He was already there. So now he's translating. Now what I just preached just now, Jesse Duplantis preached. He preached it. He preached the exact same thing that I told you. He preached up on the mountain, getting his clothes laundered. He preached so forth and so on. But did you hear that? I'm just telling you that something's happening to our thinking. Something's happening to our hearing. I just did that just to show you that I'm preaching exactly what was preached at the conference. Why we don't hear it? Because somehow we're trying to pull God down to some natural, physical, let me touch you, see if you're real, or whatever have you, and no spiritual ears in it at all. It's not even trying to absorb things from the supernatural. And folks, we need to stop that, because that doesn't make you grow. That doesn't make you grow. What you got to do is you got to hear this. The Bible says, my people destroy for lack of knowledge. You got to hear that. You got to hear exactly what he preached. But don't let the things of the earth dull your spirit so that you can't even hear spiritual things. They don't even think spiritual. Now, I just did that to just aggravate you a little bit, because I want you next time, listen to people. Let's show them. They're telling you something. Now, why feed this into the body of Christ and it's making no change in their life? All right. Amen. All right. Now, I did that just as a little exercise because I wanted you to see that I am preaching the truth. And that you need to open your spiritual ears and catch it. Because I'm about to get off of this subject and I don't want to leave you hanging, praise God. Okay, now let's go a step further. Now this boundary piece, Now, basically, what he said, Jesus said, if we are no longer defined by this world's boundaries, we're no longer marked by the boundaries of this world. And what has happened is what limits the world now should not limit us, that we should be walking on water, we should be going into places, getting things done, having wisdom that the world doesn't have, all kinds of stuff. That we should be operating that way. Say amen to that.
Amen.
All right? Now, Jesus just a minute. Okay. Let's see if I'm going to take you here. The boundaries that are in our lives. Lord have mercy, Jesus. All right. The Holy Spirit. Now, the Holy Spirit has been given to us, and he's a revealer of things in here. He makes it so that you can see what's being talked about. And he also, Lord Jesus, I don't want to, can I step back just a minute here? I got it all. It's all in here. I'm just trying to get it out. Okay. The church pretty much has not had the impact because, again, like I said, of what we've been taught or what we've heard or whatever have you. So we haven't had that operation of superiority over the enemy that we should have had. And this last days, we got to take up this mantle. We've got to finish this work that he told us to do. In the Bible, it talks about the fact that God had saved the best for last. Okay. And that you and I are God's ambassadors, that things that he didn't reveal to the generations before, he's now revealing to us. And the enemy, of course, has been trying to keep us ignorant. And ignorant means dark knowledge, meaning knowledge without revelation. And trying to make it so that we cannot advance the kingdom. But you and I have a mission out here, and we're going to make this happen. Okay? So, no boundaries. Say no more boundaries. All right. So now the Holy Spirit has a job. One, he reminds us of things, meaning he'll show you things to come. He'll bring to your remembrance of things. He has a job in evangelism where he actually convicts sinners that they come to Christ. He also quickens our bodies. Let's go to that one. Let's go to Romans chapter 8, please. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. And let me know when you get there. Then I want to go to Matthew chapter 15. Romans chapter 8. You're there? Look at verse 11. But if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also do what? Quicken your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwelleth in you. So notice, the Holy Spirit dwells in you to quicken your body. I said the Holy Spirit dwells in you to quicken your body. Now, that means that whatever comes in your body, the Holy Spirit quickens it. The word quicken also I have restores life. So if something in your body dies, the Holy Spirit is there to restore life to that. So it basically is illegal for any form of sickness to be in your body. that for you suppose the Holy Spirit is there to help you maintain perfect health.
Glory to God.
Now, I'm still talking about no more boundaries now. Now, all of this will work for you if you believe it. I said it'll work for you if you believe it. Because you're talking about the anointing. The anointing works by faith. And faith work comes by what? Hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So where there's no revelation, there's no restoration. That these things can't be restored to us. And I'm saying that this is supposed to be happening. Now, you'll find here in these last days that the meetings that we're going to have are going to be much more powerful than anything we'd ever seen before, Lord have mercy, in this book and in the book of Acts. That God is going to be moving by His Spirit, because He's going to be moving into this area of the latter rain of beautifying the church. When we come together as a group, as an aggregate, with the power that we have, each one inside of us, that this power should be radiating in the church and causing things to happen to set people free, deliver people, so forth and so on. Things be on their mind by the time they leave church. It's not going to be on their mind anymore, whatever have you. But these things have to be preached. Now, if you go over to Matthew's gospel, in Matthew chapter 15, please. Over in Matthew chapter 15, he says something here. And let's look at it. He said in verse 12, "Then came his disciples and said unto him, Knowest thou that the Pharisees were offended after they heard this saying? But he answered and said, Every plant which my heavenly Father has not planted shall be what? Shall be rooted up. Let them alone, they be blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind lead the blind, both of them fall into the ditch." All right, let's work with that just a minute. Plant in you, in me. Now, what is this plant? Every plant which the Father did not plant shall be rooted up. Now, this plant represents an image inside of us that didn't come from the Father. So it's something that came from the world. So as it came from the world inside of us, now we don't live from the outside in, we live from the inside out. Got it? Oh, have mercy. So we have to renew our minds to what the gospel said we can do as a believer, rather than what the world said we can't do as a person. Okay? No impossibilities now. Take the word impossibility out of your vocabulary. The problem is, many times we have the memory of an elephant. Now, the elephant is kind of interesting, because when there's a little baby, they take a chain and put it around their leg, and then they drive a stake in the ground so that the little baby elephant can't stray but so far. But as he grows up, they take the chain off and just put a little rope on it. And the elephant, the moment he feels that tug, he'll assume he can't go any further, because he got the memory of an elephant. And he can't go any further, so he doesn't fight it, because he fought it when he was a kid and he didn't win, so he can't win now. Got it? So the enemy tries to tie a little something around the saint's foot so you won't go but so far. And soon as you feel a little resistance, well, praise the Lord, I guess it wasn't the Lord's will. Whatever it is, whatever excuse we're offering here. But the reality is that God planned for you to do that. He planned for you to go much further than you are right now. But our thinking won't let us go there, because we've got the memory of an elephant. Now, we know what we got to do. We got to reprogram this thing. But he said, they be blind leaders of the blind. Now, let's work with this just a minute. That's a lot here, but I'm just cutting through this. Blind leaders of the blind. Jesus, oh, have mercy. Let's go to 1 John chapter 2, please. 1 John chapter 2. First John chapter 2. And let me know when you get there. But what we're saying is the church has not impacted the world because of what we've been taught. And has been blind, leading the blind. In 1 John chapter 2, he talks from verse 8. I'll read. Again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you. Because the darkness is past and the true light is now shining. He that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness even until now. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness and walketh in darkness and knoweth not whether he goeth, because the darkness has what? Blinded his eyes. All right, now we're still talking about containing the church, putting boundaries up, so forth and so on. Okay. Now, this is interesting because he uses the word in verse 11, he that hateth his brother. Now, if you look at some translations, it says detest or despise. If you go and look at the word despise, it simply means having a low or lowest opinion of. Let's go back and deal with that just a moment. Let's go back to Numbers and Numbers chapter 11. Numbers chapter 11. Let me know when you get there. Are you there? All right. Look what he says here in verse 18. Now, this is when the children of Israel are begging for meat out in the wilderness. And say unto the people, sanctify yourselves against tomorrow, and you shall eat flesh, for you have wept in the ears of the Lord, saying, who shall give us flesh to eat? For it was well with us in Egypt. Therefore, the Lord will give you flesh, and you shall eat. You shall not eat it one day, nor 2 days, nor 5 days, neither 10 days, nor 20 days, but even a whole month till it come out of your nostrils. And it shall be loathsome unto you, because that ye have despised the Lord, which is among you, and have wept before him, saying, why came we forth out of Egypt? You got it? He said, despise the Lord. You have thought low of him. You've lowly regarded him. You've looked at him as worthless, as despicable. You have been contempt. All these kind of words as despise. Now, it's interesting about this because the route that you've got to take is a route that is given to you by revelation. Stay with me now. So you've got to have revelation knowledge to be able to go and advance the kingdom of God in this earth. You can't advance the kingdom of God without revelation. However, if you despise the Lord, then you won't get revelation. I'm going to keep preaching. Just hold on to your horses. He said here, despise, think low of, hateth your brother. Don't think much of it. If you do, you'll walk in darkness. Now remember Jesus. Jesus came, God himself in the flesh. Did the Pharisees and religious leaders despise him? On the most part. Yeah, they did. Did they get anything? Not a thing. They were blind, leading the blind. Now I'm saying this because we're talking about vengeance and recompense. And vengeance, we said, is not hatred. Because if you enter into hatred, you'll start despising and you'll end up in darkness. But it proceeds out of the heart of God, and it is a love of justice from the heart of God, and is a necessity for punishing offenders. Stay right with me now. I got to slow down to give you this. So I want vengeance. But to get it, I can't hate anybody. Because if I hate them, then I'm not walking in love. And if I'm not walking in love, faith doesn't work. Now I got to access some things here. I got to access God's vengeance here, but I can't do it out of hatred. Now, I'm asking God, well, why didn't I have this message? Why did I have to go overseas to get this? And it's interesting, he gave it to me, but I was listening and I was trying to put it together. But when I went overseas and heard somebody from Africa preach this, I said, uh-huh. Now understand, we have been helped some. But now we need to go all the way because vengeance hadn't been preached many times, we've been victims. So we're going to have this coming into our lives in these last days so that we can finish the work that God has called us to do. Because once I get vengeance, then right there, this come bring me back. Lord have mercy. Can you all take this? Over in Isaiah 61, Jesus preached from it. He said, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because he's anointed me to preach the good news to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, preach deliverance to the captive, recovery of sight to the blind, set at liberty them that are bruised, and to preach acceptable year of the Lord. Then he closed the book and sat down. The eyes of all them in the synagogue were fastened on him, and he began to say, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. But he closed the book before he said something about vengeance. Because vengeance wasn't a part of what he was supposed to say. But once he left, once the latter rain came and the church was started under the Holy Ghost, the ministry of Christ then had been duly and completely handed over to the person of the Holy Ghost, and the rest of that chapter is going to be fulfilled. Say amen to that. And that the vengeance has nothing to do with hatred or bitterness or revenge. I'm going to get back at you. I'll see you at 3 o'clock. You just watch yourself. So it has nothing to do with that. It has to do with a love of justice. And it's a necessity for punishing offenders. But then the number one of the biggest jobs of the Holy Spirit, besides guiding you into all truth, besides showing you things to come, besides quickening your mortal body, besides filling you with the Holy Ghost, besides all these things, is to execute vengeance upon all the enemies of God's people, and nothing shall escape him. So I'm saying that we've come some distance, but there's another distance we're supposed to go. And when I saw Bishop Oedipo come up here and say that he hadn't prayed for himself in over 9 years, and I saw that he doesn't spend all his time fighting devils and so forth and so on, it's like we become devil-minded. It's like the devil is on the same level with God. Honey, the devil is under your feet. All you got to do is squash him a little bit and so forth. My point to you is that this whole idea about the church impacting the world, it hasn't impacted the world because of what we've been taught. And we haven't been taught that we could stand on the anointing that is on us in the last days for vengeance and recompense, and that we can stand, and because we can stand on it, nothing can hurt us. We hadn't been taught that because of this vengeance here, that nothing can touch you, can touch your body, can touch your family, can touch your business, can touch your school system, nothing. It can't touch nothing. It can't even touch it. It can't even touch it. We're showing you this. When I showed you last time, here was Abraham's wife and taking Abimelech the king. He took her into his palace. And took her in there, and that night the king had a dream. Well, God get to a heathen and give it to him in a dream. He gave him a dream, and the dream said, you are but a dead man. You got another man. You got my man's wife in your house. You better get out of there, and then when you get out of there, get him to pray for you so I won't kill you. Now, wait a minute. I'm just saying this is how powerful that vengeance is. But we got to believe what we've been taught. And I'm telling you, it hadn't been taught because some people that maybe have not had this because they weren't thirsting for it. God pours water on ground that's thirsty. Them people over there in Africa need this. They need some recompense. They need some help. I'm not saying we don't all need it, but they're crying out for it. And God said, I'm going to turn this thing around. I'm going to make the first last. I'm going to make the same people that's been rejected and despised, I'm going to put them up as your teachers. And that's what he did with Jesus. He took the stone that the builders rejected, and it became the head of the corner. And I'm telling you right now, you can't despise anybody, but the thing about it, you can't hate anybody. The idea about it is a lot of people are dealing with things and their boundary is what has happened to them. Let me just show you this. Are you still with me? What I'm saying is this, is that the blame game comes into play. And the blame game says that, hey, it's a man, it's somebody, it's a system, it's my past, it's my cousin, it's my mama, it's my DNA, it's something. But the key to it is you cannot change what you are, Lord have mercy, until you become responsible for who you are. You say amen to that. You remain unchanged until you, and your problems will prison you and your circumstances will hold you back. The key is, if you are not responsible for your life, you can't change your life. And so somewhere you got to stop putting it on other people. Somewhere you got to get rid of the bitterness. Somewhere you got to get rid of whatever it is and start walking in love and know that, hey, nobody can keep you down. If the vengeance and recompense of God is on your life, whatever's owed to you will come to you.
Do you follow what I'm saying here? Come on over to John chapter 5 real quick. John chapter 5. I believe I got y'all on board now. I'm trying to. John chapter 5. Amen. You and I are out here to save this world. You can't save folks you hate. You don't have an option of hating. You don't have an option of despising anybody. You know, I don't care who they are. I don't care how little education they have. I don't care how little money they have. I don't care. You can't despise them, because God will use the rejected and put them right over you to teach you the next Sunday morning, because he can drop a mantle on a man or a woman and bring her up into a place where you won't even recognize who they are. That's the power that I'm talking about. I'm saying you can get, see, the things of the world, they got to hate. They got to despise somebody. So you don't have to do that. You can get vengeance and recompense with love. Are you following what I'm saying? Look what it says here in verse 1. After these, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now, there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. Five is a number of graves. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk. They were blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down in a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. And whosoever then first, after the troubling of the water, stepped in, and was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. And a certain man was there, which had an infirmity, how many years? 38 years. And Jesus saw him lie, and knew that he had been now a long time in that case. And he said to him, "Do you want to be made whole?" The impotent man began to answer and say, "Sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me in the pool." Now he's putting it on a man. Now understand, the blame game is going around. But see, you can't fix anything until you stop the blame game. I said you can't fix anything. You see, there are many people that are millionaires and billionaires that have had a worse childhood than you, worse parents than you, worse education than you, worse giftedness than you. The difference is they took responsibility for their lives. And so what happened here? He said, verse 7, the impotent man answered, "Sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me in the pool. But while I'm coming, another steppeth down before me." Jesus said to him, what? "Rise, come on, take up thy bed, keep going, and walk." And immediately the man was made whole, took up his bed, and walked. And on the same day was the Sabbath. And the Jews therefore said unto him that was cured, "It is a Sabbath day. It's not lawful for you to take your bed." They weren't a bit more concerned about this man's healing. The only thing they were concerned about is themselves. They're concerned about keeping somebody down and keeping somebody under their foot. Are you following what I'm saying? I'm saying that it's happened that we, Lord have mercy, glory to God. I was going to buy a car. My wife and I were going to buy a car. This was several years ago. It was somebody who needed a car, and we said we're going to get them a late used model car. So we went to a dealership, and we went to this particular dealership. Boom. Guy saw us. Hey, recognize me. Pastor Wentz. Oh, I watched that program on TV. Praise God, man. I like that. Da, 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 da. He said, "Well, what can I help you with?" I said, "Well, we're trying to pick up a late used model car." He said, "Okay." He said, and we told him, you know, we're going to bless somebody. He said, "Well, come on over here. I want to show you what we got over here." So I'm following. He's about a couple of steps in front of me. And so I want to make small talk while I'm following him. I said, "Hey, praise God." I said, "Well, how's sales going for you?" You know, he's been watching my program. I wanted him to call things to be not as though they were something. And he said, "Oh, man, they'd be going a lot better if we had a different somebody in the corner pocket." You know what I mean? I said, "Okay, yeah." I said, "Now, your boss is not treating you right, huh?" "No, I ain't talking about my boss. I'm talking about George Bush, man. I'm talking." Now, this is when George Bush, I said, "Wait a minute, homeboy. Wait a minute. You've been watching the program?" Now watch this now. It's the blame game. See, unless you say it's you, you can't fix it.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
You got to say it's me.
It's me.
I need to be fixed.
I need to be fixed.
Folks, I'm telling you, it's easy to put it on somebody else. I'm out there on the tennis court and I'm being beat like a mule. I mean, I'm boom, bam, bam, and I'm trying, I'm everything. I said, you know, this guy, he keeps lobbing the ball, you know, and then I said, look at these balls ain't no good. I'm looking at that. And look at the air conditioner, it's too cold in here, so I'm doing everything but me. Are you following what I'm saying? I'm saying, see, until you appreciate that and come back to that place, now you're about to fix something. Because other than that, you'll put it on them. You'll start hating the brother and putting him down and lift you so forth and so on. And we got to stop that, folks. I know that you had something in your past that wasn't right. I know that somebody's been a bruise. I know that somebody so forth. But what you got to do is leave it in the past. If you stay back there, it will imprison you. It will hold you back. And this recompense that God has for you will never come into your life. You'll be just as broke today as you were 2 years ago. And so forth, nothing is changing. You gotta let it go because faith works by love. And faith is what you need to access it, and love is your access to the revelation of God. So whoever's around you, you don't despise them. They're on the same level that you are. It doesn't make any difference what background you came from, where you came from, what your education is, how high, how low you've been living, whatever have you. When you come in here, we are all one blood, and God has made us one spirit. And man, you're going to have to take that attitude to get into this thing and get your stuff. Because I'm telling you, I'm digging for this. I know, some things happened to me about a year ago, and I had all the reason to hate somebody. Man, I found out that who did that to me and so forth, and I had to pay lawyers to get out of that. It was a mess. And I said, man, so I just kept the word going, and so forth. Boom, got out of it. But I'm mad now. I'm saying, and God said, okay, watch out. There's your temptation right there. There's your temptation right there. You got a choice. You can stop your revelation right where you at, or else you can forgive and love, and I'm going to take you on up. And that's what I decided to do. I know you ain't been treated right, but I got good news for you. If you walk in the love of God, vengeance and recompense is yours. Everything that's owed you is going to come to you this year. Let me ask you a question. Oh, have mercy. Joseph. Who sold Joseph into slavery? His who? His brothers. Kinfolk. Family. I said family. Now, Joseph could have gotten down there and that thing festered inside of him and he got bitter as I don't know what. But no, he stayed with it because he had a revelation of going up to be a ruler. And I'm telling you, God is going to make you a ruler. He's going to take you somewhere up to a level. He's going to take you from the bottom to the top. He's going to make you from a slave to a master. God is going to do it, and he can do it overnight, folks. No. And them brothers came down there, and here they were. And they finally came, and he said, I'm Joseph. I'm your brother. And he wept on their shoulder. Because if you walk in bitterness, you'll slide into darkness. Now what you gonna do? That's not all. You can go through the Bible. It's all through the Bible. Here's what God said. Vengeance is mine.
He said, I'm going to get justice for you. Let me show you one more scripture. Can I show you one more scripture? See, I know somebody hurt you. But I'm giving you a reason now. Let them go. God going to take care of it. You know why? He got a log book up there. He kept some records. Every time you were humiliated, every time you were treated with disrespect, he got a book on you. I don't know about you, but I want my stuff. Payday is coming. Turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 8, please. Oh, when David got thrown in the lion's den. Oh, I want to show you that. Ecclesiastes chapter 8, verse 11. Are you with me? He said, because sentence against the evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil. He knows that if justice is not executed instantly, wicked people will think it's right to do wrong. You ain't having that. Do you hear what I'm telling you? Turn to Psalm 94. Psalm 94. He knows there's a lot of injustice in the land, and look what he asks. Verse 16. Who will rise up for me against the evildoers? Or who will stand up for me against the workers of iniquity? Amen. Turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 10 again. Are y'all getting something out of this here today? Ecclesiastes chapter 10. Folks, you don't have to hate. You can love while God executes justice on your behalf. That baby want to preach, boy. That baby is, that's a preaching baby. Look what he says here, verse 5. There is an evil which I have seen under the sun, as an error which proceedeth from the ruler. Folly is set in great dignity, and the rich sit in a low place. I have seen servants upon horses, and princes walking as servants upon the earth. In other words, God is saying, my people are acting like slaves. They're not taking their place as the righteous. Let's look at Daniel. We're done. Daniel chapter 6, please. The latter rain. Say latter rain. The latter rain is going to bring a new anointing on your life. And this latter rain began when Jesus stopped, when he went on up to glory. And this latter rain is going to wash away anything that's causing shame in your life. Anything contrary to beauty in your life has to go. Opposition from now on is going to bow to you. And nothing resisting you will go unpunished. Nothing. No Christian should be poor. No Christian should be sick. No Christian should be stressed out, nor failing, nor frustrated, nor feeling sad, nor depressed, and none shall be rejected. You are out here to reclaim what Jesus redeemed. And you're going to dismantle every system of Satan. And anything that's coming against you, the Holy Ghost is going to deal with it. Here's Daniel. You know the story. Falsely accused him. He was doing just great. But what did they do? They made a law that he couldn't pray to his God. Notice they made a law for one man. Why? It doesn't take but one man to shift a whole atmosphere of a kingdom. One man can do it. That's how powerful the kingdom is. And the whole kingdom, the Bible says in Luke chapter 12, is in you. The whole kingdom. What happened? He told him he couldn't pray, but what did Daniel do? He abided by the laws of the kingdom of heaven. Verse 10, and now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went up into a house, and his windows being open, and his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees how many times a day? Three times a day, and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. I'm telling you, it's time for you to be rude to the devil. Just be rude to him. When he starts speaking to you, cut him off in the middle of the sentence. Shut up! Yeah. What did they do? Took him, threw him in the lion's den. Would the lions eat Daniel? Nope, they wouldn't eat him. The king couldn't sleep all night. When they're messing with you now, they're not going to be able to sleep. You'll have to come back and make some amends. I'm telling you right now, there's some stuff. Lord, have mercy. This recompense, y'all pray for me because I want to birth this baby boy. I'm going to show you exactly how to make this recompense come in speedily. We got to get this stuff. I said we got to get this recompense. See, because we got to rebuild Haiti. We got to rebuild some cities. We got to put up some new educational programs. We got to get them prisoners, them vocations, and teach them. Come on now. We got to do some things here. But what happened now? Daniel, the king came, verse 21, came and called Daniel, verse 21. Daniel said to the king, what? O king, live forever. See, he wasn't worried about or concerned about being Republican or Democrat because he had a system above that. Folks, I'm telling you now, some of this hadn't been preached. And it hadn't been preached because it hadn't, we've been victims. Now this is going to have to be preached. Nothing can hurt you. No more accidents in your life. You don't have to ride down the street wondering whether somebody's going to have an accident. Verse 24, then the king commanded and they brought those men which had accused Daniel. And they cast them into the den of lions, them, their children, and their wives, and their lion. And the lions had a mastery of them, and break all their bones in pieces, and everyone came at the bottom of the den. Then Darius wrote to all the people, nations, and languages that dwell in the earth, peace be multiplied unto you. I make a decree that in every dominion of my kingdom, men tremble and fear before the God of Daniel. For he is who? He's the living God. It's time for us to manifest the sons of God. This is your message. This is your message. Yeah. Now, if you will, if you can hold your place until I call for people to be born again. But I want you to see that. This is not about hatred. Because you're called to love people. But you also cause that God is going to use you to execute justice. Yes, he is, because he's not going to overlook justice. I was telling my son, Pastor David, there in the back, I said, look, Hebrew writes from right to left. English writes from left to right. The reason why they write from right to left is because on the right side is righteousness and justice. On the left side is mercy and grace. He is saying you need to learn righteousness and justice so that you won't just think you can come in and do anything anytime and just say, well, praise the Lord. No, no. You see, I saw that happening in this kind of in the areas of faith, teachings, and so forth. But if you go back to them old-line Pentecostals, they understand over here there's righteousness, there's judgment, there's justice. They don't leave that out. Somehow we teach the word, and nobody anymore teaches on eternal damnation or eternal redemption or the fact that that's one of the five. Praise God. I'm going to show you that. Turn to Hebrews real quick. Hebrews chapter 5. Just turn to that. I want to show you this. God is not leaving out judgment. You're not leaving it out, folks. It's very important because if there are no consequences, it's amazing how people will act. They're like real crazy. But when they know there are some consequences to their actions, it's amazing how they check themselves. Are you with me? Verse 1, chapter 6, and verse 1. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrines of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of what? Repentance from dead works and faith toward God, of the doctrine of what? Baptism. And the laying on of what? Hands. And the resurrection of the who? Dead. And keep going. Eternal judgment. That's a basic principle, a teaching that must be taught. Because it helps to put the fear of God in people. You got to have a reverent respect for who He is. How do we do today? Did we do okay? Now, God is a God of love, but He loves justice. And there's some stuff that's owed you, that's coming back to you. And I'm just trying to get the key so we can get it speedily. I want some speedy stuff because I got some stuff to do. Say amen to that. Boy, you can take some of this that's coming into you and pay them bills off. How many of y'all like to be debt-free by December 31st this year? All right. Now, some people don't want to hear love, but it's a part of the kingdom, folks. It's a part of the kingdom. I know you got some deals and somebody hurt you, so what? But folks, we still got to walk in love. Now, justice is a part of His kingdom. He's not going to leave that out. He's going to take care of you. But you just walk in love. You know, it takes energy to hate. You got to work on hate, brother. This man, one time, he hated everybody and he died, you know. His face was all wrinkled because he had hated so long. And once he died, his faith went back smooth. Boy, it takes, you got to hold hate. You got to hold it, man. You got to hold that, man. That thing, that's tough. Brother. All right. If you're here, you need to be born again. I want to let you know right now, Jesus paid a price for you. Paid an awesome price. He's down on that cross at Calvary. And I'm here to tell you that He didn't take even the vinegar and all of that that they gave Him for the pain, to relieve the pain. He didn't even take it. He refused it because He wanted to bear the whole pain for humanity. And guess what? The devil didn't kill Him. He gave His life. But He gave it for you and me. He gave it believing that when you came in and heard some good news today, you're going to come home and say yes to Jesus. I'm coming home. Let me tell you, the wages of sin.